So hi, everybody, and hello, everybody, and welcome back to this week's episode of Father Knows Something. We have been really kind of busy, and we've been on our road trips. I crashed your Seattle and Portland show, and while I was crashing that weekend, I met Sierra in line, and we talked about socks, and everybody wanted to see my socks, and meanwhile, so Sierra said, I always said socks are just not, you know, buying socks. You have to have a story. So my story was I got to meet Sierra and she told me to make sure I get broccoli on my socks.
Does she really, really, really love broccoli or what?
I don't know about that, but she was very defined that I had to get yellow and broccoli socks.
Okay.
So this is cheers to you, Sierra. And we had a great time that weekend. And I'm glad I got to meet everybody on the tour because it was a lot of fun in line.
Yeah, it's been a lot of fun. We're off to all of our Texas shows this week. It's tomorrow. We just had our LA one last weekend. Super fun.
We had two shows in LA. We had one down in
Irvine.
The South Coast.
County. Yeah. Yeah. So we've got lots coming up. Dad will be at a couple. So if there's still tickets for your city, I would consider getting them. It's been so, so much fun meeting you guys and getting to hear your reactions in person, the yelling, the booing, everything. So
a lot of fun.
Come join us.
A lot of fun. If I miss your town, I'm sorry I can't go to all of them, but it's fun when I show up. Mm-hmm. And I really do kind of show up unprovocated. I just pop in. Surprise to you too.
Yeah, it definitely is. It's shocking sometimes what you'll do at my shows.
So let's kick it off. You have a theme this week?
I do have a theme. This is going to be a two-part theme because I have so many amazing stories, amazing write-ins for this theme. But it started out as like a, damn, is that person being passive-aggressive or are they aggressive? And then I was like, no, I think the writers, some of our writers need to start being aggressive. So that's the theme today.
So we're going to learn what all that means in about
30 seconds.
Let's go.
Be aggressive. Be aggressive.
Okay. Can I be aggressive too?
Yeah.
Okay. I want to be aggressive.
There you go.
I'm all seated in. We're going to go for number one as Dad holds up his one finger.
Dear Jerry, Morgan, Justin, and Holly, I've been debating writing in for the longest time, but honestly, I feel like I could use your advice because I keep kicking the can down the road on this issue. Super long story, shortish. After graduating college, my boyfriend of 2.5 years and I moved in together. It's been over a year now, and we are so happy and definitely believe it is the best thing we could have done for the next step of our relationship. Zero regrets. He is still in grad school with a research stipend, while I'm working an entry level in my field. The issue is my grandmother, paternal side. We did not tell her about moving in together, because I know with her super strict religious beliefs, this would have done nothing besides upset her. She found out via my dad. He agreed not to tell, but said he wouldn't lie if she asked. Her response was to mail me a 2-page handwritten letter that I've been affectionately referring to as, quote, hate mail from my grandma. Because I use humor to cope. I got this letter back in January of 2023. The gist of the letter was she was shocked I would, quote, make this life choice. And she doesn't respect my partner because of him, quote, doing this to me. That I need to be a better example as the oldest grandkid, and then told me to be obedient to God and get married. To be honest, it infuriated me for every reason you'd think. Since the letter, I've honestly just avoided her, except for holiday family gatherings, because she behaves in front of others. She's texted me several times lately saying she misses me and wants us to get lunch, just the two of us. I know she wants to talk about the letter. I've not brought it up at all. Any conversation we have where I am honest will lead to her realizing I just don't have the same values as her, and then her being upset. Honestly, Morgan, I feel so guilty when you talk on the pod about the way you value time with your grandma. I just don't want to be around mine at all anymore.
Wow. As I'm listening to her, I have different thoughts when it comes to religion and living together and what our concept of religion is today to what our concept of religion was back in ancient times. You know, ancient times, men had multiple wives. Forget marriage. They had their concubines, had everything. It was all this stuff went on. So, and then she made the statement about how you get along with your grandma and how she, you know, and how she doesn't with her grandma. But I want you to know that your grandma has come a long way. She wasn't always this pliable and flexible. She grew up in a very, very old-fashioned Christian manner where this stuff would have blown her away back in that day.
I know. I'm honestly thinking about it, and my grandma is very, very churchy. She goes to church multiple times a week. And I'm surprised, honestly, now, you know, reading this one, that my grandma didn't say anything to me and Justin moving in, but, you know, we're engaged now, so that maybe helps in her eyes. But, you know, that generation and very religious people can have a hard time with going outside the norms.
So let's take it a step up. Let's talk about the Catholic Church and the Pope. I was watching a thing today this morning on the Pope and how he really even said, you have to progress. We have to grow.
Wow.
And he is, you know, certainly become very flexible in not only being the Pope, but he says, I'm a pastor. I work with people. And it's interesting how religion is flexible with a lot of, as we go through time. Now, some religions aren't flexible at all. They're very rigid. It's the way it is, and it's never going to change. And that's the difference of being conservatives or reform in these religions or a complete Orthodox. I feel for you in what's going on with you and your grandmother, but I think that you have to really say to her that you respect and love her and love the fact that she has her beliefs. And you are not going to be able to, or do you want to change her beliefs? But she has to come to accept your beliefs as well.
Mm-hmm.
And you're comfortable with this. And you're comfortable with what's happening within your life and your decisions of the man you're with. And all you can do is hope that she will be comfortable with and respect what your comfort level is. Although you do respect and not want to change her for her comfort level. So she gets to live her life with her comfort levels, but you get to live your life with your comfort levels. And that way we don't have a division between us, because that's more dangerous for your happiness than to literally put walls up and not have to have your relationship.
Yeah. Well, the ideal outcome too is, I don't even know, at least just for my grandma to not hate my super awesome partner.
Mm-hmm.
So I think, you know, you could have that conversation and say, hey, I am this many years old. I'm really happy with my life. I love this person. It's not traditional. It's not, you know, what you would want. But we have to agree to just disagree on this one. I love you. I want to be around you. I want to, you know, have a good time together and mend our relationship. But it doesn't mean I'm accepting your dictation about how my life should go. And if you're not gonna step back and let me live my life, then, you know, we're gonna be distant. We're not gonna be close.
I certainly have experienced people that profess their true religious lifestyle and belief and found them very hypocritical in some cases. You obviously have found a man that you have trust in and you value and love his values. And because he may have a value where you guys can live together before you're married, it doesn't change his value of what he feels for you, and he respects you and what his ultimate dreams are for to have with each other. And I think that has to, that may you may be able to convey that with her, and maybe she can, you know, mold herself or ply herself that she can accept that and get it through. You have to probably find the way that she can get through this block in her mind for what's going on in your relationship, that she is happy for you in that happiness, because it's tough to find happiness with people in relationships. It's a difficult thing. It's not an easy gig.
No, but you know, she might not be able to ever get over this mm-hmm. or come to terms with it. So that's where you just kind of need to be aggressive and have a conversation with her, mm-hmm. set the boundaries. And then whatever happens, if she changes, yay. If she doesn't, that's just her. And it's okay to not want to be around someone, even though they're your grandma or their family or, you know, insert whatever here. That's fine. Not everyone is worth having a great relationship with. That's okay. I don't have a great relationship with my bio dad. It just, this is the way the cookie crumbles sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
So keep us posted. I think, you know, having a conversation with her would be good. I would say, you know, grab lunch, just the two of you.
Right. Because it's interesting. She has the agenda which she has set up for lunch. Sorry that you might disappoint her agenda.
But, you might hijack the agenda.
But I think you guys should take it on and just go head to head and
be aggressive. Be aggressive.
But certainly come to terms with the two of you, what your beliefs are, and that you're going to be able to have your relationship and leave your religion and politics at the door.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Okay.
Let's go for number two if
Next
we can.
Next up.
Number two.
Okay, number two.
Dos amigos.
I, female 20, live in an apartment with three other girls on campus. We each have our own bedroom and bathroom, just for a little more understanding of our living situation. Two of the other girls are wonderful with chores. All year, they have helped do things whenever they need to get done. All chores were pretty much divided evenly between all of us. However, one of the girls is so bad at cleaning. She never loads/unloads the dishwasher, never takes out the trash, and when she does hand wash her dishes, they always have a layer of oil on them. It's so awful. A couple of months ago, we created a chore chart. Yes, I'm in college to become a teacher. We divided the big chores into 8 categories, and we each have 2 big chores. One that needs to be done every week, and one that needs to be done every other week. Then we have a calendar where we place our color-coded star stickers on the day we do it. Finally, we draw little stars whenever we unload the dishwasher or take the trash out. The three of us were so excited because we thought it would be a perfect solution. Now, months later, we know she single cheeks, a nice way of saying half-asses, all of her chores and never does the little chores. It is so exhausting to deal with because we love having a clean home, but I don't want to be a pushover. I'm autistic, and one of the things that makes me have meltdowns is having a messy home. It stresses me out so much. I just want to clean everything. However, I know from my teacher training, if you just keep picking up slack, the other person will never learn that there is a problem. Anytime I mention anything to her, she says sorry and gives an excuse. But by this point, I feel like she needs to just do it and be an adult. The biggest excuse is that she works a lot, but so do all of us. I understand working long hours, but these chores take 20 minutes to do well, which can be squeezed in any day. I just don't know where to go from here. My resentment of her is growing so much because everyone else has figured out how to be an adult. I'm so tired and want to know how to fix this without making an enemy or taking on the full burden of everything.
So I'm going to let you start with this one.
Why?
Because I want to.
You leave soap on your dishes. There's no teaching you. You're an old dog. You can't learn new tricks.
So, and you don't even do the dishes. You put them in the sink and say, I've worked too hard. I've been editing all night. And
I put them in the dishwasher.
So
what
I'm trying to show here is that in the best of love, in the best of scenarios, it's a problem when you have roommates.
Roommates are hard, no matter who they are.
It is a difficult thing. And what do you do to solve the problem?
Move out.
Move out.
Get your own place.
So now I don't have dishes in my sink. And it's interesting. I mean, it's a dynamic that, you know, it's hard to find people that have the same lifestyle. You've obviously accomplished it with, you know, three of the four of you. And maybe it's best that you just have to get rid of the fourth and find somebody else. Mm-hmm. Because, and I think you have to have an open dialogue so no one feels you're picking on anybody. But you can certainly say, this is real. And either you're going to get on board or either you're going to solve the problem or we have to solve the problem. And her solving the problem is jumping on board and doing it 100%. You solving the problem is not renewing the lease with her name on it. And it's not a nice thing because she's going to feel that she's being ganged up on. But I think if you make sure that you all look at her and say, we're being real, maybe it might sink in. But you certainly have to hit it straight on and you have to have a conversation where there is no negotiating. This is what it's going to be. Either you're going to fix it, or unfortunately, we have to fix it. And we love having you. We love being a family of four in this place. But we just can't go on this way.
Yeah. Well, to give you some additional context too.
There's more.
They will be living together for the next 2 years. That's already a thing. So our writer says, so I don't want to create any unneeded tension. She's also an only child and never really learned how to work with others and share things. So a part of me feels bad, but at the same time, she has to learn sometime.
You're going to have to get on her. The four of you, you have to sit down and you all have to look at her and say, we're not ganging up on you to hurt you. We're ganging up on you so you understand that we can't do this anymore.
Yeah. And I think it's hard having those conversations with roommates, but you just need to do it. Sit down, all of you. It cannot just be you and her. It's got to be all of you coming together and saying, hey, we cannot live like this. We can't pick up the extra weight. You know, we're all busy. We're all in school. We're all working. You got to start pulling your slack. Otherwise, you know, we really got to start considering other living arrangements.
What are the rules they can go at this meeting with that they can succeed rather than fail?
I think I would start writing things down so you have examples. Maybe take some pictures of the dishes that she cleans. It could go two ways depending on the type of person she is. She could be really defensive and just get mad. Or, you know, with everyone coming at her and sitting her down in a mature way, she could appreciate it and change. But I don't know. I it's hard because you don't want to be passive aggressive, because I know some people would say, well, if she leaves dirty dishes, I'm going to put them in her room. Like, some people would do that.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, that's not the greatest thing to do to a roommate to create a cohesive, happy living situation.
And some people would just be sucking it up and doing the dishes. So the answer is, you know, when you have the conversation, keep your tone.
Yeah.
Don't lose your shit. Don't swear. Don't call each other names. These are what I'm looking for. A conversation that you do not allow to get away from you.
Yeah.
You have to keep it in check, but you, soon as the meeting starts, you have to really say, we are here today for this reason, and we have to address it, and we have to come to a solution, because we can't go on in this relationship this way. So here are the expectations and here are the accountabilities. I love using these two words, expectation and the accountabilities.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can't do it, then the accountability is you're going to volunteer to leave. You're going to allow yourself to move, and we're going to get another roommate, because we can't continue this way.
Yeah.
And everyone has to sit there and say, we're all family, but we all have we all have 25% of this responsibility.
Absolutely.
And for some reason, 75% of us believe that it's all coming down, that we're doing our honor with this, but 25% of it, it's not being honored, and that is on you. And we've all agreed to this.
Yeah.
So please look at it. Please pay attention to this conversation, and let's fix it.
Yeah, and I don't know, like, it's hard because I don't think technically you can really enforce consequences. You can't force her out. You can't force her to find a subleaser. You can't force her to clean.
Then what do you do?
The sad reality is you could either deal with it, suck it up, the other, you know, two of you pick up the slack, or you find a subleaser for your spot and you move out.
All three of them?
The three of them, if they want to find a three bedroom and live together, sure. Otherwise, just our writer. You know, there's ways about it, but it might just unfortunately be the way that this roommate dynamic is. And you've learned now this is someone you can't live with. But, you know, I had a roommate like that in college. Our last year together, we were fighting nonstop. We had very different schedules, very different patterns of behavior. Mm-hmm. And it just wasn't good. And, you know, caused a lot of fights, some screaming matches, but we moved out and we're good now. Still friends, but we're not people that can live together.
Okay. I'm sure the write-ins are going to have some solutions. So look at the comments on this one, because people are going to definitely chime in to try to help you as well. So let's see what we come up with as a community on this one. Okay, let's move on to number three.
One of this week's partners is LinkedIn Talent Solutions. When you're hiring for your small business, you cannot afford to not find the right person. And it can be time-consuming and hard to find quality people, unless you're using LinkedIn Talent Solutions. I've actually used LinkedIn to hire an editor for my team. And prior to that, I was using a bunch of other job boards and finding people that just weren't working out. But LinkedIn made it easy to find a high quality person who was able to do the job in the way I needed. LinkedIn isn't just another job board. It's got a huge network of more than a billion professionals, which is going to make it the best place for you to hire the next team member for your business. And if you're a small business owner, you can't really afford for the hiring process to take a lot of time, because time is money. With LinkedIn, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within just 24 hours. If you're running your own business, you're wearing a lot of different hats: hiring manager, accountant, salesperson. And LinkedIn is constantly finding ways to make the whole hiring process and getting good employees a lot easier. Post your job for free at linkedin.com/expertise. That's linkedin.com/expertise to post your job for free. Terms and conditions apply. Link is also in the description. Okay, moving along. Hi, Jerry, Justin, Morgan, and Holly. I'd love to start off by saying thank you for this and the Two Hot Takes podcast. You've helped me through some really, really tough times, and I'm super grateful for it. On to my problem. I, 24 female, have recently said no to lending my mom, 54 female, money, and I feel really bad about it. Some backstory: my mom can't work due to a back injury, and her husband can't work due to a work accident that damaged his legs and back. They both get money from the state to pay their bills. She previously put some bills in my name, but never actually paid the bills. This caused me to go into debt of approximately $2,500, which I fortunately paid off when I got my first job back in 2019. However, she never paid me back, but I decided to let it slide and told her she didn't have to. Ever since I started my new job in 2020 and she realized that I make a lot of money, she's been asking to borrow money from me. It could be $30, $50, or even $300. I usually say yes, as long as you pay me back by this date. She always says yes, but would occasionally ask to pay half on the date she agreed to, and the next a month later. I would agree to it because I know they don't have a lot. Recently, though, she's been asking more and more. She asked for $250 to fix their car. They do need one. They live 30 minutes from the closest store and almost 2 hours away from me, and I agreed. She told me that it didn't cost $250, so she spent the rest on new clothes instead of paying me back. She later asked if she could pay me half in January and the rest in February, because she didn't have the money to pay everything back all at once. I stupidly said yes again, and she's asked for even more money after this agreement. She asked for another $60 yesterday, and I asked her if she would pay me the $125 plus $60 in February. She said she'd try. I told her that this would be the last time I'd lend her money for a while, as it's become so much at this point. I feel really bad about my decision, but I have severe anxiety when it comes to money after growing up with limited funds. I've managed to get a job where I make a decent living for myself and my pets, and I fear every day that I'll lose it. Am I the asshole for telling her that I won't lend her any more money for a while? Thank you and love you all.
The answer is no, you are not an asshole.
No, stop giving her money.
Absolutely, you can't, because she's already started the pattern. And all you can do is say, Mom, this is a pattern. I can't afford to keep doing this. You know, I'm young. I'm trying to, you know, take care of my own things. I'm growing. And you need to get a second job if you can, or a job. I can't help you. So what other solutions are there for you? And that's all you can do.
Yeah. And it sounds like, you know, Mom and her husband are on state income. Our writer does add in additional info. Mom and her husband both get approximately $1,800 a month. I do believe they have a lot of debt, though. I make around $60,000 a year, but I work everywhere from 8-hour shifts to 18-hour shifts, up to 6 days a week. I have approximately $3,000 in my rainy day fund. And the reality is,
that's not a lot of money.
That's not a lot.
It isn't.
You need to start looking after yourself. And it sounds to me like Mom also has a budgeting problem. She borrows money from you for the car, to get the car fixed, which is important, as you said. But instead of taking the extra money and giving it back to you as she should have,
shopping spree,
she goes and shops and spends it on clothes. I'm sorry. That is someone, to me, that doesn't really respect you and has been enabled so long by you that they're going to take advantage. You give them an inch and she just took a mile. And that's not fair to you.
It isn't.
At all. You've already, you know, gone and bent over backwards covering the debt that she put you in by putting bills in your name. That was $2,500. In a lot of places, that's a crime that you can be put in jail or prison for. So that's a lot.
It's an easy answer. You are not the asshole. I didn't know we're on this show, but...
I know. No, not the asshole.
Not the asshole.
Ideal outcome would be to have her stop asking for money all the time. I have no issue with lending or giving people some money when they need it for something serious, but lending money for something serious just to learn she bought new clothes is so disappointing to me.
Mm-hmm. This is almost like giving Mom an allowance, and that's not what this is about.
No, it's time to take a step back, really look after yourself. Obviously, she's going to reach out if it's an emergency, and then you get to choose. But I would really, really limit money.
If you were making a big income, I mean, a substantial income, more than you'll ever need, and you want to help your mom and you want to set something up that you can do this and she can make her life a little easier, that's a different deal. But you guys keep using the word, can I borrow? It's not, can I have? And because we're on this borrow word, because, you know, we want to make ourselves feel better that we're borrowing it and we're not really just taking it, then she's got to pay it back.
Mm-hmm.
I would define that to her. This wasn't, can I have $60? Can I have $300 a month? Can you afford to underwrite me and help my living by giving me that every month? That's a different deal than when she says, can I borrow? Because she's not borrowing it. She's taking it. She has no intent on paying it back. And that's where we have to define those lines.
Mm-hmm. Keep us posted. I know this is tough to set boundaries, especially family and money. And when you feel like people really need your help, obviously it can feel bad saying no.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, take the time you need to coop from that. It can be very draining mentally, emotionally, but you're not wrong. And I think you've been enabling a little bit, and I think they're starting to take advantage of you.
Okay, so we're on number four now.
Another one of this week's partners is Hungry Root. I'm having a really hard time eating healthy right now. Being on the road, traveling for tour, not having energy or time when I am home, it can just be a lot. And then I feel guilty I'm not eating good. My body doesn't feel good. My stomach goes crazy. So that is why I love getting Hungry Root delivered right to my door. I really think Hungry Root is one of the easiest ways to eat healthy. They send fresh, high-quality groceries, simple recipes, and essential supplements right to my door. And it's food that I actually like and enjoy eating based on the quiz I take. And the quiz might not get it perfect every time, but you can feel confident that you're going to get exactly what you and your family likes because Hungry Root is fully customizable and you don't have to take their suggestions. You can choose exactly what you want. So whether it's fresh produce, high quality meat and seafood, healthy snacks, smoothies, and breakfast options, you're going to find things that suit your palate and accommodate even the pickiest of eaters in your house. I love the breakfast options. I think this is my favorite part of Hungry Root. Start my day off on the right foot, not hangry. So if you're ready to try it for yourself, right now, Hungry Root is offering Father Knows Something listeners 40% off your first delivery and free veggies for life. Just go to hungryroot.com/FKS to get 40% off your first delivery and get your free veggies. That's hungryroot.com/FKS. Don't forget to use our link so they know we sent you.
Okay, number four.
I need advice for a situation with my mom. Hello, my name is Devin, and I met you both at the Irvine show.
Oh, hi, Devin.
Hi. And I figured my write-in for that show was better suited here, actually. So anyways, I, 27 female, have been with my boyfriend, 32 male, for a year and a half, and we have known each other for 9 years. We also recently moved in together. Naturally, the conversation of engagement and weddings have come up. Well, one day I got an ad on Instagram for a wedding dress shop that sells really unique dresses. Think dresses with floral patterns or even different colors. And I thought they were really pretty. Now, I'm not opposed to white, but I'm not instinctively wanting to wear white. So on to the issue. My relationship with my mom has always felt like 1 foot in, 1 foot out, emotionally. She would say she'd support me or be there for me, but the judgment would never cease. And we're not talking about learning moments. We're talking about me when I was like 21 and going to her because I was nervous. I caught something STI related. And all she could focus on was who I had had sex with. And there you go. So anyways, months leading up to me moving out, we were fighting a lot, but things cooled down now that I live on my own. We went to lunch and I was telling her about me and my boyfriend. And I mentioned, I don't think I want to wear white on my wedding. Her first response was, why? I then go and show her the dresses, which are sold in Chicago, and asked if she'd come with me. Her response, it depends. Now, I like to think of myself as a straightforward person. And here's where the 1 foot mentality comes in. So I asked her, what does that mean? She mentions, quote, oh, well, you know, the weather. As if I'd go in negative temperatures. This is one of my many moments where it leaves me feeling confused as to what type of relationship we have. After this conversation, she mentioned that I could take her wedding dress and alter it however I like and whatnot. But mind you, she is exactly the person who, if she does a good deed or gives you something, never lets you hear the end of it. Why would I want to alter something that has so much meaning to her? I could use your advice on how to go forward or bring up the conversation that goes beyond a hypothetical wedding dress.
I have a story.
Let's hear it.
That might relate to this. First, I want to get something really out of my mind before I tell you the story of Anna. The story on this one is that you're talking about a wedding dress, but I haven't heard, have we really set a date? Do we know we're getting married? And the reason why I say that is that I have had friends throughout my life that have bought wedding dresses because they love the dress. They put it in the closet and they don't get married for 4 years. The plan really doesn't happen 4 years later. And size has changed. Things have body-wise. Yeah. And so I really do believe that if you're going to get a wedding dress, get it close to your wedding. That it's all in motion. That way we know that when you show up and the dress show up together at the same place, that everything fits right.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Well, I think, you know, what Devin seems to be dealing with more so is just wanting to feel supported. I think the dress might be like a symptom. It's almost like there was this thing going around where people would ask their partner, mm-hmm. if I turned into a worm, would you still love me? Mm-hmm. Devin's just kind of asking, trying to like broach the subject of like, Mom, if I want to go to Chicago for my dress mm-hmm. and get something a little different, would you come with me?
Mm-hmm. I got that part.
And so it's kind of this like, it's not really about the dress. It's just wanting that connection and wanting to know that there's unwavering support. It's unconditional.
I got it.
And she's not really getting that.
So now I'm going to tell you the story.
Okay.
So I have a cousin that was getting married and she had a party, an engagement party. And at the engagement party, she actually did put on her mother's wedding dress and came down at the party to take pictures because the wedding was going to be a small wedding, that everybody at the party was going to be at the wedding.
Oh.
So she said, this way you can all see what I look like in the dress. She put her mom's dress on that fit her perfectly.
Wow.
And she came downstairs and we could not believe what we saw. And then she had pictures of the wedding from her mom's wedding with the dress. And then we took pictures with her. And this.
That's so cool.
And so it became an event that she got to use her mom's dress, but not exactly for the wedding, but for the party, the engagement party. And then she had her own dress. And I get the fact if your mom has something that, you know, to do with the fact she wants you to wear the dress, that's one way you can implement wearing her dress and she can feel special about it. And then you can also go get the dress you want for the actual day of your wedding.
Yeah, maybe that's why her reaction was like this. Maybe she dreamed about having her daughter wear her wedding dress. But here's the thing. You got to be aggressive and sit down and have a real conversation with her. Stop beating around the bush.
Mm-hmm.
Stop and just be candid. Mom, I really would love your support when I go wedding dress shopping. It would mean a lot to me. No matter where it is, can you just kind of, you know, let me know now that you'll try to be there for it?
Mm-hmm.
I understand life could happen, but I'd really want you there. And, you know, you brought up your dress. Did you want me to wear it? I feel bad altering it. Just get it all out there and have a candid conversation with her and tell her, you know, we have had a rocky relationship in the past, but I love you and I just really want to feel supported by you.
Yeah. And just to top off the story as I remember it, I do believe that her mother that day wore her mother's dress.
Stop.
Yeah. So Anna wore Janicia's wedding dress. And then Janicia wore Harriet's dress from that same wedding.
That is so cool.
It was very, very cool.
I really, really, really wanted to see my grandma's dress, but she did not have enough money when she got married that she borrowed someone else's dress. Mm-hmm. So she doesn't have her dress. So I was really sad about that. And then my mom never had a traditional wedding with, you know, the dress. So I got nothing to work with.
Well, we'll see if we can help you out.
We'll see. We'll see.
Keep us posted. And anyone in the comments have ideas, certainly put them up there.
Yeah. And don't feel bad about not wanting a white dress. I love when people get crafty and go different colors or florals. And
I wonder what Cindy,
it's your day.
I wonder what Cindy Lauper did.
I'm not sure.
We should look that up.
We'll have to take a peek.
Okay. Number five.
Number five. Another one of this week's partners is ZocDoc. We all have compromises we have to make in our lives. Unfortunately, sometimes it's dealing with a family member that sucks, or maybe we go with the cheaper tires for our car. But one thing you should not compromise on ever is your healthcare provider. You don't have to do that anymore, thanks to ZocDoc. ZocDoc is a free app and website where you can search and compare highly rated in-network doctors near you and instantly book appointments with them online. ZocDoc has changed healthcare for me entirely. I went from hating appointments, being frustrated, feeling like crap, to finding providers that listen to me, are willing to try things, believe me in the symptoms I'm experiencing, And a big part of this is because you can read real patient reviews. I scoured those reviews. I made sure people were liking the doctor and having good results. As I shared, I was having a lot of issues with my blood work, being pre-diabetes, having elevated liver enzymes, and I needed a solution. I went on ZocDoc. I found a doctor that was going to be willing to try something, and I did. And it was amazing. So if you're ready to try it for yourself, go to ZocDoc.com/FKS and download the ZocDoc app for free. Then find and book a top-rated doctor today. That's ZocDoc.com/FKS. ZocDoc.com/FKS. Okay, we got a juicy one for this last one.
All right. Pour on the syrup. Let's go.
Hi, Father Knows Something crew. I'm a longtime fan of Two Hot Takes and FKS. I started listening back when THT episodes were under 30 minutes ages ago.
How long is a THT now?
Usually almost 2 hours.
Are they really?
Yeah, it's a lot. Thank you guys so much for all you do. You've made Thursdays so much better for me on my long commute. This is going to be a long one, so sorry in advance. Essentially, my female 23 best friend, also female 23, thinks I'm a virgin. But I actually lost my virginity over 6 years ago. For context, we've been friends since we were 11. She's very Christian, and I am not. We have had multiple conversations about sex before marriage, and it is something she is very against and judges other people for partaking in it. At the time, we were both in relationships, and I chose not to tell her that I was having sex. She was upset with me for making out with him too quickly, so I didn't want to have that convo.
Whoa, yeah.
I think 17-year-old me thought it was a problem that would resolve itself later. After my relationship ended, she made a comment that we were both virgins still, and I agreed. Accidentally starting this lie. I think I thought I'd meet someone in college and lie and say it was them. That didn't happen, though. Whenever I'm seeing someone, I tell her we are, quote, friends that kiss. She asked me point blank about one of them, saying, quote, you didn't sleep with him, did you? Very judgmentally. And I lied and said no because I was scared. I asked her thoughts about people in long-term relationships having premarital sex, but she said to just get married. Other comments include calling a movie character a terrible person for sleeping around, and saying that my ex was a bad person for having sex with his previous girlfriend. She's getting married in May, so discussions about sex are becoming more frequent. But she very much still thinks I'm a virgin. I love her to death. We grew up together, do family holidays together, and she has been with me at my lowest points when no one else was. But I don't think I can keep lying, especially after the wedding. My mom says I should keep lying. My old therapist said it's my business and I have a right to privacy. My current therapist says I should tell her after the wedding. My friends say I should tell her before. Every time I think about telling her, I panic because I cannot fathom losing this friendship. I know I'm in the wrong for lying. I never expected to have this spiral so out of control like it has. What do I do?
Well, you guys are not going to like this one.
Oh, gosh.
Do you know what I'm going to say?
I don't know. Be aggressive?
My answer is tell her the truth right now. In fact, I think you should tell her that the truth right now, because this is the time where she's going to have the most questions. And she may have questions for you regarding it now that you've gotten past the fact that you have done it. I think that the biggest thing that you really have to say is, I am sorry for not telling you the truth. I didn't for anything in the world want to upset you. And I was making choices that were wrong. And I think it's more wrong that I've been lying than for me to come clean and tell you the truth of my lifestyle that I have done. It was done out of love, who I was with, who I cared for, what I felt. And I hope that you can, you know, you can get over this. I mean, she has no right to judge you. I don't know how God judges, but she's not God. She's your friend. So it's not her job to judge you.
No.
And I think if she starts going down that path, I think you have to call her on that.
And thou shalt not judge is also a Christian belief. So
there you go. So I think that you should utilize that in your conversation as your friendship. But you definitely say, what I have done that's even more wrong is I have not been transparent with you because you've asked me very direct questions. And I want to be able to tell you honestly where I'm at. And that way there's nothing between us. We are clean. And I love you and you're my friend. And that means more to me than anything. And I think if you hit it with that, that gets rid of this one problem where it's going to always come out and where she might need you right now because she is nervous. She's going, this is all coming to a head and she's made sex such a big deal that maybe you can be a friend to her in this aspect. What's your thoughts on this one?
Well, you know, I think you have a lot of great points. I think you might have some very optimistic, you know, outlook on this, like maybe too much of an optimistic outlook, because I don't think she's going to react very well. I don't think you're going to just get off on a conversation and your friendship is going to be left in the same state. I think telling her is going to definitely create a gap between you guys. Your friend is very unrealistic, or maybe just so set in her beliefs and has a community that live the same way around her. So she doesn't get that it's unrealistic. But, you know, the fact that she said, what about couples that are in long-term relationships having premarital sex? Well, why don't they just get married? That's not like, what? That's kind of unhinged. Like, so I don't know. I have a feeling that if our listener tells her, especially says, I've actually been lying to you since we were 17. You know, I actually did have sex in high school. I don't think that's going to go very well.
Okay. So
what do you do?
I mean, yeah, let's just take the fact that her girlfriend's going to walk. How is she going to deal with the fact that her girlfriend is going to go walk, take a hike? And she has to go ponder her friendship for a while. I mean, look, honesty is the best policy.
Yeah.
I've always said this. No matter what it is, honesty is the best policy. And it's always kept me from getting in trouble. She put herself there when she lied because she was trying to protect her friendship. She was 17 years old and she was feared for it. But now she's coming clean and she's going to do it in a way that's going to say, I'm wrong for have said that. That being said, here's the truth.
I
love you. I don't want to lose my friendship. And I hope that you will be able to, you know, forgive me.
If it were me in this situation and I had a friend like this, I would come clean that I'm not a virgin anymore. But I wouldn't tell her the whole truth.
Okay. I'm okay with that concept.
I think it's not her business when you lost your virginity, how many people you've slept with, and anyone that's going to judge you for that and not be your friend because of that is not your friend to begin with. Friends don't judge friends. If she has any negative feelings about you coming clean, that just shows she's not a good friend.
So can she approach it this way? Tell her the truth that she's not a virgin. And say, and when she starts saying when, she'll say, I really want to reserve the privacy of that to me. But if you have questions regarding sex, I'm glad to answer that. But the who's and the what, I really don't want to share that.
Or just like say your most recent boyfriend. Like
I would just say, I don't need to share that.
You could go either way. I think by saying, I'm not going to share it, her head's going to go, well, you're even lying to me more. I think you can literally just say like, hey, I know your wedding's coming up, which means your wedding night is coming up. And I just want to let you know, like, I did have sex with my last boyfriend, my last partner, whatever. And, you know, if you have any questions before your wedding night, I don't know if like your mom's talked to you or any of your other friends that are married, but like, I I'd love to just like have a girl's night and like catch up and talk about it, because it's been so scary not being able to tell you, and I was scared you'd judge me, but
okay,
you know, I'm really excited for your wedding and like make it more positive, but not fully. I had sex at 17 and then I had sex with this person and then I had sex with this person. It is none of her business.
Here's a scroll of
Here's
names.
The list, baby. None of her business. But you can still be honest in the sense, like, I'm not a virgin. I had sex with my last boyfriend.
Which is true.
There okay. you go. And I think that's the way that you can get your ideal outcome, which is, I want to find a way to tell her that does not result in her ending our friendship and kicking me out of her wedding. I think that's going to be the easiest blow.
Okay. Let's see what happens.
You'll nibble on that one.
I'll nibble. Let's see what happens. So
that's part one.
We got another part?
Part two. I think we'll invite Justin to part two because there's even more juicy stories.
Not from her, though.
Not from this writer, but on our be aggressive theme.
I got it. But that's it for the
theme. That's it for today.
For tonight.
Today.
Today. So you heard it right from the mouth of babes. So we will see you next week. Justin, going to come? Are we going to? This is part two is next week.
Part two is next week.
Good. So are we going to have a Patreon for them after this?
We are not going to record Patreon. We are going to record Patreon after part two.
Okay.
So there will be one from this theme on Patreon.
Goodbye, family and friends. We had a great time. It was great seeing everybody at the shows that I showed up to. I do have plans to go to a couple other shows, I do believe. Mm-hmm. And I hope you guys will be at those shows. I love you all and good night.
Bye.